Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Jack, I have $100.
All right.
If you ask Cal some.
Come on, Jack. Can I ask him a question?
No. A specific question. Not a question. I'm not going to have you ask about ball rotation or at the 419 mark of the second half.
What do you think about Sheboy's 15th rebound?
I don't care about any of that. Here's what it is. You ask him if he's talked to Mike Woodson about renewing the UKIU rivalry.
Oh, Jack.
Jack, you'll be the hero. Jack, do you understand?
I'll throw in 50.
$150.
I've got your
Venmo,
Jack.
$150.
I don't know if I have the stones to do that.
And James Strebel.
Coach, I don't know if you were aware that the Kentucky women's team played Indiana on Sunday with first-year head coach Mike Woodson. Has there been any discussion?
Say what?
Has there been any discussion with Mike Woodson, the new head coach up there, about trying to bring that series back in some way, shape, or form in the future?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Crane wins. He wins. He wins. He did it. Jack Grossman freaking did it.
All right, so a big thank you to Adam and his staff dropping off some Wing Zone today to the ESPN Louisville studios. Perfect for the tailgater watch parties for the Governor's Cup this weekend. You don't want to cook after cooking, all day. Well, you cook all day Thursday or whatever. Yeah. You get Friday's leftover day. Saturday, you need something new. Boom, it's Wing Zone. WingZone.com. And also, you can try the ESPN Louisville special. Now, this is a good 7 days a week. 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for $9.39. The two locations, Hikes Point, the other Poplar Level Road at the Quarry Center. So a big thank you to Adam and company there at Wing Zone, wingzone.com. They got you covered for this weekend.
Sounds good.
I'm just looking at the text line. It's an absolute mess. Texter wants to remind Strebel that Duke plays Gonzaga and Ohio State next.
Good for them.
Just before they dive into ACC play.
Good for them.
Virginia Tech at the beginning, who's going to be a good
team. They're pretty good, yeah.
Who is a good team.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, like he's got Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Louisville right down the boom. Back to back.
Yeah, but that's not for like another 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, December 11th, baby.
Yeah. So there you go.
Circle your
that's
calendars.
When the season starts.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I'm not going to read that one. I'm not going to read that one either. Boy, there's a couple on here that are absolute haymakers. Okay, so before the break, I teased this, and we're not going to talk, obviously, too much college basketball during this show, particularly today. Sure. Maybe tomorrow we'll see if anything happens. Obviously, Kentucky wins by 25 last night. They don't cover. Albany stinks. It's a sleepy game. Mm-hmm. Nobody's there. Double-double, Oscar Tshiebwe, another good game from Keon Brooks, even though Enz hates him.
Yeah, Ty
does his thing. Sevier Wheeler continues to do his thing. Why? Because Mitchell Hannigan has cursed.
The reverse curse on Sevier Wheeler.
Yeah. The Carly curse.
Boom.
That's exactly right. The Carly curse.
There you go. But I think last night, it was painfully obvious. And here's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Kellen Grady, I don't know what he is yet for this team.
I don't think he does either.
If you remember, he was he first team or second team all SEC?
Second team.
Second team.
It was Grady, and I forgot who the third player was.
Wheeler was first team.
Well thought
of. 18 players on that.
And so, for the most part, and obviously highlighted by the Ohio game, do we have Calipari last night on Kellen Grady? Let's go ahead and play this quickly. Mm-hmm. This is last night Calipari, and then I want to expound on something that he said.
Here's what's happened. He's on the scouting report.
Like, don't leave him. Well, you know what that means? They're working hard not to get you shots. What does that mean? You have to work really hard to get plays now. You got to work harder than they're working to keep you from scoring to score. I gave him, I said, go look on YouTube and look at Rip Hamilton. Rip Hamilton, skinny dude that could score and catch it and shoot. And they all said, we're going to keep him from doing it. You know what he did? He sprinted. He didn't run around the court. He sprinted to get himself free to make shots. And you know what? When he sprinted, everybody else ended up being open because they tried to stop him. And the guy slips to the basket, lobs. Guy's trying to help on him. That's where Kellen is. You're on the scouting report. You may be the top of the scouting report.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah. Talked about Kellen Grady, and he's been up and down. He has not been what we thought he would be.
Not consistently,
okay?
No.
And Davion Mintz was out last night. It's an illness. I'm sure he'll be fine. It's not COVID. But we know that he is a backup guard.
Yes.
Like, I feel like the only way he will be a starter is if injury, if someone goes through a two-week funk, if you
prolonged slump. Yeah.
And the slump buster would be Davion Mintz.
Right.
And you watch last night Dante Allen.
Oof.
Go 0-for-5.
And the shots weren't even close.
And
most
you
of the
watch
time.
Dante Allen be bad this season.
Yeah, he's not been good.
And you knew he wasn't going to get many minutes anyway, but you would hope if he played 7-8 minutes that he could come in and be respectable. And let's be honest, he's lost on defense. We know where this is heading with Dante Allen.
Oh, yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring all this up is before the season, and early in the season, Duke, obviously, we're like, wait a minute, they need another big.
Yeah.
And we had that conversation, remember?
Yeah.
That we thought it was just sprinkles on the Sunday. Instead, it was much more of a need.
A necessity.
A necessity. Perfect word.
Yeah.
I watched last night. We know what we know about Davion Mintz.
Mm-hmm.
We know what we know about Dante Allen, okay? Mm-hmm. And right now, Kellen Grady is trying to figure things out. Who doesn't believe that Shaden Sharpe's not going to play?
I'm with you 100% right
now. When you watch some of these games, who doesn't think that it? Like, you're telling me if he arrives,
and he's good.
I mean, like, he arrives and he's better than Dante Allen. And if I'm selling you Dante Allen, even when Mintz is back, gets 7 minutes. Shaden Sharpe's at least getting 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that's done. Like, to me, I see no way that Cal is watching a guard that's trying. And listen, I think Grady's going to be fine, I think, but I don't know. I haven't seen him play. He played at Davidson, and I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
And quite frankly, I'm not giving Cal the benefit of the doubt. Okay?
I like how Cal just ignores that he was the top of every scouting report for 4 years.
This was a guy that, again, I think he's going to be fine, and I think we are going to get to a spot to where he's going to figure out in the offense how to get open for these shots, and he's going to make some, I would say, at halftime and even into the second half.
He played much better.
Well, I text Jack because that was going to be my question is, what are they doing to try to get him comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay, because they need that. That's something we have not talked about this season because Shibway's been so good, because Wheeler's probably a little bit better than you think,
mm-hmm.
because Ty now is doing Ty could have scored 30 last night.
He's meeting expectations right now.
He is meeting those expectations.
The best player on the court.
And so all these different narratives, we haven't talked that much about Grady,
mm-hmm.
but you got Mintz, who we know that Calipari doesn't mind playing just 15 minutes and does not mind
right.
bringing him off the bench. Dante Allen is a mess. And even if he gets better, I mean, there's no reason to believe Shaden Sharpe wouldn't come in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and do something.
Yeah.
And you have Grady, who is the starter, but I mean, right now he's trying to find his way.
He's replaceable.
There is absolutely no way that you can convince me that this dude's not going to arrive and be able, again, I'm not saying it's 32 minutes. I'm not saying starting every game, but if you're telling me that you can play in, what, four of these games now, Dante Allen, at least, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes.
Sure, last night 13.
I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
Now, I know he's entering with competition. It's going to be much different. You're going to your conference play. This is not Albany. This is not Ohio.
Right.
This is not North Florida on Friday. And so in that respect, that would be the only respect in which I would say that I'm wrong, or the only thing that could be a hiccup, if you will. But you watch the team and you see that if this guy comes in and they can ball a little bit,
yeah,
Cal's going to put him in the game.
100%.
Like, and when you watch, come on, let's be honest. When you watch Mint sometimes, even though I like him, okay, and you watch Dante Allen, I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
Mint's is fine. I mean,
I like him better than you do.
I like Mint's. I think not in this game, well, he didn't play, but in Ohio, he settled the team down and got everything together into the second half. I think he scored, what, like 18 points, something like that. If Mint's was healthy last night, Dante Allen doesn't play 13 minutes. Dante Allen plays 5 minutes.
Probably. I think air balls his first two threes. He gets beat on defense. He probably comes out of the game and he plays 2 or 3 minutes.
He does. Davion Mintz, as many shortcomings as he has, is much better than Dante Allen as an overall basketball player. I mean, there's no question about that. And you're right. I mean, I think Grady could be replaceable unless he starts hitting those threes and getting open at a higher clip. If Shaden Sharp comes in and Cal sees, like, okay, this he can play. I mean, Kellen Grady's not doing anything right now that makes him irreplaceable.
Shaden Sharp is he's here to play.
Yeah, exactly, he's here to play. I'm with you.
I don't think it's...
If he's ready.
There's no
if he's ready.
Well, that's kind of how I'm feeling. Now, I don't know anything. I have no inside information, so I could be totally wrong on this. It's just... let me say it again. You know Mintz is a bench guy that he doesn't mind playing 14, 15 minutes. Dante Allen is a mess. Dante Allen, it would be shocking if he were on Kentucky's team next season.
I'm shocked he's here this season.
And as much as I like Kellen Grady, this is a guy that over half the time so far has not been able to find his way. It's like Ohio in the first half last night, he wasn't shooting. Like, it wasn't that he was missing a bunch of shots and he's shooting 18%. It's like he was 0-2.
Right.
You know, the other night against Ohio. I mean, you see all that. How the writing isn't on the wall, it would mean if he doesn't play, honestly, it would mean that he's behind.
That he's way behind.
That he's way behind, or his people don't want him to play.
Right. Well, that could be.
In some sort of way.
Which would be crazy if they don't want him to play, because unless they think he's behind.
Well, it would be silly because next year he's going to play. The point would be, okay, you don't play. I mean, we see this more. We see this in sports sometimes where a guy doesn't, you know, you don't show up to the combine because you save yourself.
The quarterbacks do that.
The quarterbacks don't throw at the combine.
Right.
Some of the big-time guys are not going to run their 40.
Or do the...
You do it in a controlled environment.
Right.
That would be the argument. But the kid's going to play next year. So if he came in and played 9 minutes and was a fine player, you would have the offseason to get ready for next year to be a star.
And that hype would be huge on him. If he comes in and plays and does, you know, pretty darn well and looks like he could be different, the hype going into the next season is good. The two players that they brought in halfway through the season, both couldn't play then and struggled to play the rest of the time in Kentucky, and that was Ty Winyard and Hami Diallo. I mean, Ty Winyard.
I forgot Ty Winyard.
Yeah, I mean, he came in halfway through the season, and they needed bigs that season. That was a season where they needed big guys, and we thought,
it was a scout season.
Yeah, they needed bigs. You're like, okay, this guy can come in. He's a 4-star. He can play. Never play. That should have indicated there, right then and there, that this dude wasn't going to be ready. Hami Diallo, same thing. He came in, sat for half a season, thought he was going to be really good coming in, and he never really found his way. Kentucky asked him a few games. I mean, he's playing good in the NBA right now. I mean, he's found himself a nice spot. Diallo. In the NBA.
With Detroit. With the Pistons.
But he wasn't ready.
Jack,
I knew he was with the Pistons.
Jack.
I saw him on the highlight the other night against the Lakers.
The Lakers
were being lazy and he rebounded the ball and hit a layup.
There's nothing. You don't know a thing about what Hami's done in the NBA.
He's playing.
He won the slam dunk contest.
He did.
And he's playing.
I only know that because I bet on him to win the slam
dunk contest. He's on a team.
He's
on the court. I mean, I know those two things. But he wasn't ready at Kentucky. So if Shaden Sharp comes in and doesn't play, then automatically my brain's going to go to Hami Diallo Ty Winyard, he ain't ready, and he might not be ready next season. Now, I don't think that's the case, but if he doesn't play at all, that's what I'm going to think.
Yeah, I just think that we've done this before with highly rated recruits where there's this idea of a player, and the idea doesn't always come to fruition. I mean, we saw it with B.J. Boston last year on the Louisville side. We've seen that with V.J. King, Wayne Blackshear, to where sometimes if you don't see the guy, you can keep this
idea in your head, like, oh, he's a beast, and as soon as we get him,
boom.
Sometimes,
you know, it ends up being Ty Washington, and sometimes it ends up being B.J. Boston or V.J. King.
Right.
So, I mean...
or Scalabese.
Yes. So part of it could be is maybe his camp wants to keep that idea of him and expose any flaws and say, okay, maybe he could be good, but not great, so we don't want him to be viewed
don't give
to the
NBA
until he's great.
Something to think about until that's a good point. I mean, I could see that too. I don't know. That's just kind of where I'm going with it after that, because we've had two examples and neither one panned out.
Yeah, neither one played either.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So I'm thinking.
That's what I'm saying. If they don't play, that tells me maybe they're not ready.
I think Shane Sharp could play. But I don't know if I'm as 100% sold on.
I'm certain.
I know.
I'm more on Andy's side than your side.
I'm certain. In fact, I'd be stunned if he didn't play the first game. He's eligible. I mean, come on. Cal's looking out there. Davion Mintz is limited. Dante Allen stinks.
Yeah.
And Kellen Grady, we just need to see what he becomes. I think he's the starter, and I think he's going to be fine. Yeah. But it's just he's. It's not that he's missing shots. His percentages are great. It's that in some games he's not taking enough shots.
He didn't take hardly any shots against Ohio.
No,
you're exactly right.
He took two. They need him to be more
assertive.
A bigger part of the offense.
It is an interesting dynamic how you're more certain that Shaden Sharpe's going to play than I am, but at the same time, you're higher on Kellen Grady than I am.
I'm not saying he's going to be great.
No, I'm saying Andy's higher on Kellen Grady.
I think he's a fine player.
One has nothing to do with the other.
Yeah.
They're
completely different players.
If Kellen Grady averaged 18 a game, I would have the exact same take on Shaden Sharpe.
Yeah, because Kellen Grady gives you something that maybe Shaden Sharpe can't, which is that spot up three and be able to knock that down consistently. And Ty Washington, I don't think they have anybody like
you
that right now.
You're waving to Nick Valvano?
I am waving to Nick Valvano.
Why? You don't care what he does the rest of the night. Yeah, like you just don't care.
Well, I still like Nick.
Yeah, but you don't care. He drinks beet juice.
Yeah, he waves at me.
I don't know what's going on. It's beet juice night in the Valvano household.
Candle making beet juice.
He's going to the restaurant.
There you go.
There you go.
It's underwear swap night.
Underwear.
Texas says Grossman needs to get a picture with Mintz on a bench.
You do. You and Mint sit next to each other.
Texas says, was MAGA Strebel excited to hear the new Kid Rock song?
I haven't heard it yet. I've heard about it, but I have not heard it. Was it like Let Me Live or something like that?
Here's what I love about that. And Jack's lost on this. So you know Kid Rock is.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know when I say Ba with the Ba?
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Chris Mack loves it.
Well, there it is.
Yeah.
So the premise around the Kid Rock song is that you're a snowflake,
right? I figured
and
that.
Middle fingers, and I'm gonna live my life.
I'm gonna do what I want to do.
And I'm gonna do what I want to do.
Take that, Fauci.
Take that, lib.
Yeah.
And that's the premise,
right?
And when that song comes out from the Louisville fan base, you get I love BBN will love this. BBN will love this. And from the Kentucky fan, Chris Mack will love this.
Yeah.
And that's what I get.
Yeah,
and
from both sides.
And that's where we are from both sides.
Yeah.
And you just fell.
I did it.
Without knowing, you fell right into the stereotype.
I did.
Look at Jack.
Absolutely.
Look at Jack sip that.
Sipping on the Truly.
How about that?
I'm happy.
How about that?
I almost got him two, but I figured he had plans tonight, so I didn't want, you know.
What are you having tonight? What's the family making?
I think chicken and dumplings.
There you go.
Ooh, yeah. That sounds good.
And the cookie cake.
There you go.
Man, he's so excited. Is that one of those double layer cookie cakes with the frosting in the middle?
Oh, no. I don't want the frosting. Get the frosting out of here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's
my
fine.
Bad.
It's fine. Whoa. It's fine. Just I'll eat the frosting if it's on there. But
the
frosting takes away from the cookie.
Okay. Well, yes. He's passionate about these chocolate chip cookies.
You better believe he is.
I tell you, I've never seen a man
that is
passionate.
My second life if sports radio fails.
Does the Keebler Elf?
Yes. It's just.
I want to die. Come back to the Keebler Elf.
Chocolate chip cookie reviews with Jack.
You'd be a great Santa Claus.
You know what?
No. I think there's one little problem with that.
Well, yeah, obviously.
We were talking about that during. We were talking about that earlier today. We need to find that. We need to find that. Can you find that biscuit sound?
The Dr. Klein sound. Hold on.
When Biscuit wished a Merry Christmas to Dr. Klein.
Doesn't Hanukkah start Monday, Jack?
Sunday. I don't like it when Hanukkah's early. I'd rather Hanukkah be late.
Let's get that sound on the other end. I want to take a break here because I want to get another break in before we get to Brandon Marcello.
Yeah.
So we'll give you that sound on the other end, and I want to ask Strebel a what if. We'll do that next. 437-9680 plus. Grossman's going to end it. You're doing a review. We're doing a weekly cookie review.
Oh, I like that idea.
If we need to fly in cookies from somewhere, that's what we're doing blindfold, 100%. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. Quick break, and we'll give you biggest biscuit sound next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Hi, I'm Danielle. I'm a sexaholic. Hee hee.
Oh, boy.
I also love sports and beach volleyball. I am a woman full of passion and desire with a burning body which you want to please. What? Come and check it out in my private room.
What?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Reminder, that's a good start to the segment. We're working Friday. We'll have you covered for the Governor's Cup. By the way, Maui's on right now. We have a little Texas A&M Butler who doesn't want to be dialed into that game. A&M leads by 3 with 27 seconds to go, so there you go. Brandon Marcello will join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike DeCourcy will join us coming up in about 30 minutes at the top of the hour. Governor's Cup coverage will continue on Saturday. Pre-game coverage, post-game coverage, both right here on ESPN 680, 105.7 and 93.9 The Ville. Okay, I want to ask you this.
Yes.
It's a complete hypothetical. I just want you to think on it, and we can revisit this at some point. You haven't had to think about this a lot. I agree that it's not going to happen. I agree that Mark Stoops is firing off all of these bullets to get his name one way or the other, or Bruce Feldman helping him out, whatever it may be.
It's annoying.
I mean, it's around Mark Stoops. What if he left? What if he left? And I don't know, because with Louisville, we're used to this.
Right.
We're used to it. Like, if Satterfield left, we know, we've done that show.
I've done plenty of times.
I've done the show, whether he gets fired or he leaves. And listen, I don't think either one's going to happen.
No.
He definitely ain't getting fired.
No.
We've done these shows for years with Kentucky. We've done the opposite show. Why they keep Stoops? Why they always keep Stoops? Why they reward at times mediocrity? Like we've done that show. The show we haven't done that I have never done.
Never had to prepare for or think
that
about.
I've never had to prepare for or actually form any sort of opinion.
Right.
Has been Stoops leaving for another job. And I want to be clear, I do not think it's going to happen. Him, along with other assistants, especially if they beat Louisville, and especially if they beat Louisville big and they go win a bowl game, we know it's going to be, here's an indoor complex, here's more money. Does Vince need more money?
Who needs an extension?
Does Brad White? Does John Summerall? I mean, it's going to, like, we already know rinse, repeat, what's going to happen. And then in a year or two, we're going to do the same thing. Something will come up, guys, the Stoops needs for the football program. Everyone will rally around. Why doesn't Mitch give this to him? And we will do the same thing. That is, I feel very strong that that is what's going to happen. But this is as close as we've been, if you want to believe, to at least having to have that conversation.
It really is.
What if he left? And it would be for a better job. If he left, it would be a little bit like Charlie Strong in Texas.
Yeah.
That Louisville fans are like, yeah, I mean, some Louisville fans still do the I'm not cut that way, Jim, talking
right,
to Jim Rome.
Yeah.
But, I mean, anyone with a shred of common sense immediately would obviously go to it's Texas, okay? There's always the what if. What if he would have stayed? What would this program be? What would it become? I mean, all of that is totally fine. But we already know the answer,
right?
Okay? Mark Stoops would be going to a dream type job if he were to leave. It would, and again, he's not LSU or Florida or I don't know the West Coast.
He's not.
But I'm just throwing that out there. Have you even considered it? How would you even be talking about it?
I haven't considered it one bit.
Let me ask you this. Let me set up a scenario. He loses to Louisville.
Yeah.
Close game.
Yeah.
Good game.
Loses like 38-35.
Fine. Loses to Louisville. Leaves before the bowl game.
Ooh. That's one of those situations
because they almost
where
always do leave.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah. And he'd probably take your coaches.
He'd probably take Liam Cohen with him. He'd probably take Brad White and Vince Merrill. He'd probably take those guys with him.
I don't know.
If he did that,
Liam Cohen's the next coach.
Well, I mean, I could roll with that. I could roll with it. I'm not saying I would prefer it.
So he's already
could roll with
it.
No. I'm not moving it out of the way.
I'm not moving.
I don't know who I'd want. Honestly,
who do you want?
I mean, I would have Neil Brown. I don't want to hear Neil Brown ever. I don't want him near.
He's
Archie Miller. He's one of these guys that just he does mediocre jobs at smaller schools and gets better jobs somehow.
West Virginia doing a mediocre job there.
Exactly. I mean, he wasn't anything special at Troy.
A&M beat somehow. I know you care.
Oh, I.
A&M, SEC. Look at Biscuit.
But honestly.
There's Biscuit. Give him an L's down. Get Biscuit and L's down. I told you. Biscuit, you want to rip HVL if you want. Go ahead. You know, if you want to rip.
You want to rip HVL.
No, I don't. She needs to play better. She looks off. She looks terrible.
Jack, yeah, I like
her and Olivia Jack. Are underwhelming right now. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Jack's voice.
They're underwhelming.
He looked up at Biscuit with love in his eyes.
He did.
Dude, you want my headset so you can rip HVL?
I like Biscuit's beard getting bushy. I like
it. No shave November, buddy.
Yeah, I like it. He's got the flannel going. He's got the big bushy beard.
How about that?
I like it.
Hello, Lumberjack.
Lumberjack Biscuit.
I walked 500 miles to give you my seed. What's that from?
Oh, that
Step
was
Brothers.
The Step Brothers. Yeah, where he's having the fantasy with the therapist.
Yeah, I don't think it's 500 miles.
It was a lot,
but
though.
What if?
All right.
You've never had to think about it.
I never had to think about it. I'd have mixed feelings because there were things that Mark, if I were to think of him being gone, there were things that he did that were unprecedented in Kentucky. We all agree on that. I mean, we hear that all the time. People that defend Stoops when he makes boneheaded decisions or whatever. You know, it's never been like this before.
Right.
But then I'd go back to
TVs
things.
Weren't the same in 1984
exactly.
Either.
Exactly. Yeah. But part of me would be like, you always wanted a little bit more. And you never got it.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I would feel about it. I'd appreciate it, but like you never. I kind of feel like we are what we are with Mark Stoops now. I don't think we'll ever get. And that's weird saying considering they're second in the SEC East, something they haven't done since I've been alive. They've not done that. So I would.
I'm typing to Jack whether I should because it's the first thing that came up in my mind, Jack. I'm texting
what?
You. I see you think that's
it's
funny.
It's a great text.
Streeble would get so mad at me.
Why?
He really would.
What did you say? Yeah, what did you say about Stoops?
That we've kind of reached our limit with Stoops.
Well, you're always look at Jack's face. That you're all
you're always wanting more. You always want more.
It sounds like you and Stoops need a pause. That when you have a pause,
yeah, you appreciate a little more.
Well, no, that you think maybe I can do better.
Oh, well, maybe.
look at Jack's face right now. Well, it's the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one of those things where I don't know if they could do better. Because I don't know what the options are. That's the thing. Like, I don't know. It's not like they're going to land a Lincoln Riley.
They can't do
that. Or they're going to land Mario Cristobal or something. They're not. I mean, that's not who they're going to get.
Bobby Petrito.
No. No.
Texas says, what about the biscuit sound? That's
oh, great. Yeah. We got to get to that. Yes.
That's great. We should have played it for him when he was
when he's here. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dr. Klein, how are you, sir? I'm looking forward to talking to you about the coronavirus this week. Lots of developments.
Yeah, it's like every week. It's a busy week. And I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking.
Did you have a good Christmas before we get into everything? Did you have a good holiday?
Well, you know, I'm Jewish, so
He knew he made the mistake, and all he had was,
Hanukkah starts Sunday night.
Texas says, it's rivalry week. Can we have L's down forever guy? Jack, before we take a break,
please.
I need L's down forever guy. We might as well play the hits if we're here.
Yeah, since Biscuit made an appearance.
Texas says, Strebel's wife talks about Strebel like he does Stoops. That's what went through my mind. That's what...
No, she doesn't.
Now I can't. I feel bad, but it's the first thing that popped
into
my mind.
Don't feel bad because...
It's the first thing that popped into my mind.
You shouldn't feel bad because, like, there's nothing to any of that at all. Like, we're super, super happy.
Who are you texting right now?
Oh,
who
is speaking that? Of the devil, it's my wife.
What did she? Is she listening right now?
No, she's Kellen has a basketball scrimmage.
Does she have agility practice? But
you need to know that. Strebel took his 9-year-old kid and they went to the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah.
Okay. 2 years ago,
at the Yum Center in Louisville,
at the KFC Yum Center downtown Louisville, and you know what he did? He and his son threw a damn L's down. That's what they did.
Yes.
That's who you're talking to here. He threw an L's down.
L's down forever, man. Yeah, yes, L's down forever. Damn right. That's what I like to hear, Boogie.
That's not the one. But that's okay.
Yeah, who was that? Good
was
L's down
Boogie Watson?
Yeah, it was Boogie.
Name?
It was Boogie.
Is that who it was?
Yeah, it was Boogie Watson. But no, it was more. We wanted the guy calling in to Biscuit.
He goes L's
down forever.
Texas says, could UK football land Luke Fickell? No,
no, no.
Texas says Jeff Brohm to UK? No, no.
I think he might.
No, if Jeff Brohm doesn't get one of these big-time jobs...
He's never leaving Purdue.
We're done talking about Jeff Brohm.
Okay, fair enough.
On the show.
Okay, fair enough.
Especially since Satterfield's going to be around.
Yeah.
By the way, James Franklin, a 10-year extension at Penn State.
10 years?
He got the bag. How about that?
Wow.
Texas says Stoops leaves and they bring in Les Miles.
No.
Texas says Eddie Graham's going to be coaching UK in the bowl game LMAO.
No.
Texas says Stoops is Tom Crean.
Mike, you're up next on our reaction show here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Thanks for hanging on, Mike. What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man?
Not much. We're doing good, buddy. We're just trying to dissect this situation just like everybody else.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. L's down forever.
It's a fine addition to the show.
He waited on hold for like 15 minutes.
I'm proud of him. I hope he. God, I wish we'd have held him on hold for another 15. Like, it's amazing he held on for 15 minutes.
Just say L's down
forever.
L's down. All right.
What was that? That we did extra programming around what?
Missed the NCAA tournament.
What a great night that was. That was an awesome night. I loved that night. Yes.
We know you love that night.
That made me so happy.
We know you love that night. Quick break. Brandon Marcello, 24/7, joins us next.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement. Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
We're bringing in kids that want to dominate that rivalry. Period.
And James Strebel.
It's ACC title game or bust. Period.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Period.
I do need to know if Taylor Lynch is going to call for the ACC championship again this year.
Oh, for football?
Or next year in football.
Yes.
Like, if it's just going to happen.
Absolutely is.
I got to think.
Damn right.
I got to think he will, too. Hey, you heard the promo there. Triple header coming up on Thursday. The NFL. We'll have it all right here on 680-1057 and simulcast 93.9 The Ville. Well, all the Governor's Cup coverage. Obviously, all of our local shows, including on Friday, we will be on the air getting you ready for the Governor's Cup on Saturday, and to talk about that and, you know, other musings happening in college football. It's Brandon Marcello joins us from 24/7 Sports. Brandon, always enjoy the time. How are you, good sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Well, it's verbal terrorism around here, actually, Brandon, if you really want to know. A game that probably doesn't mean too much nationally between Louisville and Kentucky. The hate is flowing this week, Brandon, and it is some hate between the Cards and the Cats.
Oh, I'm sure. And, you know, listen, I've been impressed with the way Louisville has kind of bounced back. I know, goodness, about a month ago, it seemed like everybody was asking if there's going to be a coaching change, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be the case now, and things have changed as well for Kentucky, where it seemed like, hey, maybe they can have a 10-win season, and that kind of fell apart. But, you know, I'm very, very interested in this game just because I think it's got the makings of a game that could be maybe in the low 30s, potentially, with the scoring.
Yeah, what do you make of this game? Just any, you know, general thoughts? I mean, I know you're not watching every single second, but, I mean, it's been since that LSU game, October 9th, since I really think Kentucky has played good, clean football, four turnovers against New Mexico State, spotting them 7 points, and that's what Kentucky does. They don't create turnovers, and they turn the football over a lot, and their best players do. C-Rod, Will Levis, those are the guys that are turning the football over, and then you're right, Scott Satterfield kind of has saved the season, but they've done so against the dregs of the ACC with Duke and Syracuse. So what are we supposed to think of this game? I've been on Kentucky the entire time, and then we get here now, you know, Louisville's favored by like a field goal in some places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a difficult one to call. I think it's just whatever team's defense actually comes out and plays consistently. I think both teams are going to have some turnovers in this one just because I think they're going to be going after it pretty well offensively. But I'm looking for that one of those defenses to really stand tall and not just get turnovers, but, you know, stop them in the red zone, stop them right outside the red zone in between the 40s, so to speak. And that'll be key. I think this is a game that, like I said, I think it could be higher scoring than maybe a lot of people are thinking. And, you know, it is kind of crazy to me to see that spread the way it is, considering where we were like a month ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. Kentucky, just about, ever since they went on that bye, they have not been the same team, and they played better teams in hindsight, so we know all of that. And Louisville has lost. I mean, they are – Louisville, you know, Brandon, is so close to having a really, really good season. You changed the Virginia game. You led 30-13 with, what, 14 minutes to go. You changed that game. Who else am I thinking of? What close games?
Oh, Florida was close. Clemson, NC State.
Yeah, I mean, NC State was close in the fourth quarter. Clemson, you had the ball inside the 5-yard line, 4 shots at it. I mean, one or two of those games were talking much differently. What do you believe and not believe as it pertains to Mark Stoops and some other bigger schools potentially having some interest in him? Do you believe any of that?
I think it's possible, though I do think that it's going to be difficult to maybe sell some of these schools to go after a coach who, no matter how good he is, but is ingrained kind of in the Kentucky culture. And from that, I mean, he's at a point now where he's going to be a Kentucky legend if he stays there another 5 years. And so does he want to step away from that, go start over somewhere, and maybe only coach as much as maybe 5-10 more years somewhere else? Or to go to a place like Florida, you go to the SEC championship, and then a year later you're fired. So I don't know. I think that's difficult. And I think he's a name that if I was Florida, particularly, I would consider and would, you know, beat around the tree there a little bit and figure out if this is worth it and maybe we should go forward with it. But I get the feeling, though, that these gigs, especially Florida and LSU, they're kind of going a different avenue right now.
Why would you like Stoops at Florida? Because he would stabilize things, he would build things, he might not, I mean, he's not going to win like Urban Meyer, but he would make them stable, something they haven't been a lot of, and you know, since Urban Meyer, you could argue outside of maybe a year with Dan Mullen?
The recruiting, I think he would improve recruiting there night and day. The recruiting there has just really been bad. I mean, they still get top 10 classes, top 15 classes, but it's still bad based off of what they could be doing right now on the recruiting trail. And, you know, that's part of the reason, really the big reason why Dan Mullen is not there anymore. One, he wasn't consistent week to week just as a coach and having his team on the same page. But secondly, that was because they took chances on the recruiting trail and then didn't go after the kids they should have right in their own backyard and push for some of those guys. And, you know, I would think Mark Stoops, based off what he's done at Kentucky and especially what he's done with recruiting in the Midwest and particularly Ohio, he would understand that and be able to kind of wrap up that state of Florida and not just, you know, try to block out Georgia and Alabama from getting in the state, but there's no reason why, in my opinion, I know how good Clemson is, but Clemson shouldn't be coming in and getting kids that want to commit to you at the University of Florida and you're okay with it. There's a lot of things going on there at Florida, and I talked about it today on one of our podcasts. I actually have been working on a deep dive story the last few weeks that we held off on publishing because Dan ended up getting fired, and there was no point in, I guess, burying the guy even further. But I talked about today on our podcast, and you know, listen, that program was in complete disarray, not just what we were seeing on the field, but with their recruiting philosophy and the way they were going about it. Complete disorganization. I would say just some peewee-type league stuff going on there.
Who would make sense for that job? Do you have a couple names? And Dan Mullen, where do you think his next job will be, college or NFL? Or, you know, just I mean, I guess he's going to take a step back. He made the Mississippi State to Florida, the natural transition, and he's going to have to do what some coaches have done, Lane Kiffin had to do. He's going to take a step back and maybe work his way up a little bit more again.
Well, Mullen needs to go to the NFL, go be an offensive coordinator. That's what he needs
to do. I agree.
That's what he fits. And, you know, he's a great X's and O's coach. I've said this before. If recruiting was not involved in college football, he'd be winning national titles. He's a great X's and O's coach, great game day tactician, just bad pretty much with everything else. you know, as far as what Florida should look for, I think the perfect candidate for them that they need to go after is Billy Napier at Louisiana.
Okay.
His name is starting to pick up steam at Virginia Tech right now. He's a guy who is a fantastic recruiter, has built an amazing staff there, not just assistant coaches, but support staff, recruiting staff, that rivals really any, when you talk about, you know, I guess not necessarily quantity, but quality in the SEC. This guy has taken a page from Nick Saban's playbook, has expanded on it, has tweaked it, coached under Nick Saban, and is really focused on that day-to-day stuff with the recruiting, has brought in the top recruiting classes in the Sun Belt the last 4 years, and is obviously contending for championships there. He's been very picky about what jobs he wants. He could have had any one of, like, I think three SEC jobs the last 3 years, and he passed up on them. Florida would be a perfect spot for him. I think LSU would be as well, though I think LSU is not really wanting to go in-state there for political reasons or whatever, but I think Napier should be the number one guy on that list.
Brandon Marcello with us, 24/7 Sports, national college football writer at B Marcello. If you want to follow him there, James Franklin just minutes ago coming out the news, he gets a 10-year extension, so take him off of the market. He gets paid big time. What else interests you on this coaching carousel? Where I don't know, are there this many good candidates for as many great jobs as are available? What interests you the most as you look out over the next couple weeks?
The number one on Franklin, it's amazing. You got a deal like that. He's 0-9 in the last 9 games against top 10 opponents.
It's unbelievable.
80 million.
$80 million. Yeah. That's what he got.
I don't think if he keeps that up, I think he's a good coach, but if he keeps it up next 3 years, he won't be there 3 years from now.
Agreed.
Anyway, so but can get good for him. Secondly, yeah, you're exactly right. There are not enough quote unquote sexy candidates out there to keep everybody happy. And some people are going to have to dip into some head coaches that aren't really like, what? What's going on there? Or even some NFL assistants and obviously some assistants and coordinators, you know, in college football to fill these positions. And we're seeing now more than ever, we're seeing position coaches getting head coaching gigs. Texas Tech hired Joey McGuire, linebackers coach from Baylor.
Arkansas. Yep.
You know, having a fantastic season after hiring an offensive line coach. And, you know, one guy I really love, and I think would be a fantastic head coach that I don't hear a lot about, is Jeff Grimes at Baylor. Did a fantastic job at BYU, obviously, a year ago as their OC. Has experience in the SEC and in big conferences and the ACC as an offensive line coach. That's where he's got his bread and butter was. And then he became a coordinator and did some really amazing things that were based off and built around that offensive line and his experience there. And I think he would build an amazing staff wherever he goes. And, you know, out west, there are some really good gigs. I think Washington should be really looking at him right now, but I haven't heard anything along those lines. But, listen, there are some schools out there that, and there's a lot more jobs going to be coming open.
It's amazing jobs. These are great jobs, yeah, Brandon. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah, and they're not going to be filled by names that make fans happy. There's going to be a lot of upset fan bases here in a month.
A name I haven't heard you mention, you think Jeff Brohm would have his name? I'm just throwing you. I mean, that's a name we watch around here because Louisville fans are infatuated with him. He told them no, what, 3 years ago, yeah, when Satterfield looked like it was going south early in the season. It's bring Jeff Brohm home. And it used to be we thought he would get one of these big jobs, and now I don't hear his name almost anywhere, and he's won a couple big games this season.
Yeah, I haven't heard his name either. It hasn't coming up among the industry and the people I talk to. Doesn't mean it could happen. But I think the problem with him is that he's been very inconsistent. Yeah, he's having these big games and winning against top five opponents, but then there's other games that just make you scratch your head. And I think the recruiting there is not quite what people would want to see in a program. And I think he's got to have a big season before he really starts hitting those hot boards a little bit more.
All right, Brandon Marcello with us. Quickly, we have Mike DeCourcy coming up in about 6 minutes, but I want to get to some of the big games. You have Bedlam. We have Ole Miss, Mississippi State. That's on, what, Thursday night, I think? We have Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, those are the three biggies. I mean, Penn State's favorite against Michigan State. That's much a secondary game. Do you have any strong thoughts on those three and four games, kind of the big ones that are going to shape the college football playoff, at least in this week?
The Egg Bowl should be played on Thanksgiving night every year, number one, I think. I'd love watching the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night. You know, listen, I'm going to Bedlam myself to go cover that. The Big 12's got a very outside shot at being able to make it into the playoff, but that is so intriguing to me because one, OU's going to the SEC at some point, but also Oklahoma State has just been terrible against OU, against their rival over these last 10 years. And now's their chance to maybe sneak into the playoff. And they've got to have not just a win against OU, but a substantial win in the point margin, and then go into the Big 12 championship and have another substantial win. Can Oklahoma State do that with an offense that's not very explosive, but a defense that is right behind Georgia in every major statistic, if not ahead of them, defensively? It's quite incredible. So it's interesting, that game, for a lot of reasons to me. Of course, the game, Ohio State and Michigan, you know, we'll see. I think Ohio State's probably going to drub Michigan in that one. But
I agree.
Bedlam just really interests me this week. Then again, it might end up not being all that intriguing, but I think it's intriguing not just because of, you know, the rivalry in Oklahoma State struggles against OU recently, but how's this set up the next 2 weeks for Oklahoma State? Because they not just need a win, I think they need a win by a healthy margin this week and next week to be able to be considered in the playoff.
Last one for Brandon Marcello. Would a two-loss Alabama team and a one-loss Georgia, if that one loss came in the SEC championship, both get in over Cincinnati? The answer is yes, right?
I think if Bama's got two losses, they don't get in.
Okay.
I don't see it. They have not been impressive these last, I mean, literally the entire season. Their one loss to Texas A&M wasn't a fluke. We've seen Arkansas pretty much going step for step with them. I don't see it. I think the committee's going to look at that and go, their biggest win this season is against Ole Miss. at home. That's it. That's their big win this year. They could say Arkansas, but it was a 42-35 game.
Yeah.
And you needed your quarterback to break a school record to beat Arkansas at home. You lose to Georgia. I don't care if it's overtime or not. You lose to Georgia, you have two losses. They should not get in. Obviously, if they beat Georgia, they'll be in. They'll probably be the two seed. But, Georgia, I think, is going to be in no matter what. I mean, unless they,
they're going to kill Georgia Tech.
The biggest upset ever this week.
Right.
But, yeah, no way. I just don't see it. If a two-loss Alabama gets in, we will be in a 12-team playoff like in a week.
Yeah. Which might
be too many people.
It's what may need to happen. I don't know, Brandon. Some people don't like that. Some do. Well, hey, I know you're pinched for time. Thank you so much. Always love catching up. College football, obviously, big game this weekend. And we'll keep following you there at 24/7. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
All right, there we go. Brandon Marcello joining us here on ESPN Louisville. Go ahead.
Marcello. That's it. I don't have anything else to say.
All right, let's...